Auburn Studios. It's Ray Richardson on WLOB 100.5 FM.
You're listening to 100.5 FM. Good morning. I'm Ray Richardson. Thanks for joining us. We're broadcasting live from the RowAutoGroup.com studio. Don't forget, our McVetty's Hearth and Home text line is 207-409-6172. You can find out more at stovesofmaine.com. The amazing Don Campbell just walked in the studio. Hey. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
You're looking all festive with that Santa-y scarf you have on.
You got to show some spirit. You
yeah,
know?
You do. You look good. Yeah, you look really good,
you
man.
You guys look great, too. Yeah.
We're fabulous. We're fabulous in every way. If I were two people, I'd be doubly fabulous. How's that? Our buddy Steve DeMillo, you know Steve.
Yeah,
you worked
very
at
well.
The restaurant for
great,
a number of years.
Great guy.
Didi, were you going to say something? Go right ahead. We always want to hear from you.
No, I'm short and I'm just crawling up on my stool here. But there you go. And yes, I love Steve too.
Yeah, you're 5 foot two. That's not short. That's perfectly sized.
Well, it is when your feet don't touch the ground.
No, that's probably true. That's probably true. That is a problem, isn't it? That really is. Steve DeMillo, how the heck are you?
Good morning, Ray. Doing awesome. What a beautiful Maine day.
Boy, you're not kidding. When I walked out this morning, there was a nice breeze blowing. It was, I think, 18 or 19 degrees, and I just took in a big gulp of air, and I'm like, wow, thank you, Lord. What a day. What a day.
Yeah, I laughed when you were talking about that earlier because I'm pretty sure you still have shorts on it. It's cold.
No jacket, anyways, short sleeves, absolutely.
Beautiful, yeah. You run hot. You run hot, hotter than anybody I know.
Yes, isn't that the doggone truth?
Yeah, well, nice to be on the radio with you and Didi, and now I'm Don, one of the best men I know.
Hey, and, Steve, back at you. Yep. And I was just, as soon as I heard your voice, I'm thinking, you know what? Steve's wife has a great reputation for decorating the boat.
Yes.
I mean, it's. I don't know where she learned it, but if you were to walk into DeMillo's, you'll be really impressed with the holiday decorations in there. The Christmas decorations are just through the roof.
She is a woman of tremendous style. We did a rally for the Lobstermen down at Steve's place a couple years ago, and she pulled in, and she had these beautiful moms, you know, the autumn moms.
Yeah.
They were just unbelievable.
She's a very
Steve, I don't know if you remember
very classy,
that or not.
Very classy person.
Yeah, tremendous
and
style.
And delightfully kind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. She's unique. I might keep her around.
You know, that's probably a pretty good idea. It's been, what, 41 years, 42 years?
43 last month.
43? Wow. Oh, that's right. You told us that. Yeah. Because you went over to that Maple Cafe over in North Conway we told you about.
We did. And then Vito's for dinner the next night. And was a beautiful celebration for us.
Yeah. No doubt. Yeah. It's a long time. You know, you as your dad would say, Steve, you've done well.
He would. You're right.
Indeed.
Yeah, he loved Marge. And like Don said, she's got a touch, and she puts her touch on decorating the boat. And in fact, I just sent her a picture on Instagram. She doesn't do Instagram, and there was a picture of a couple of cocktails that Lisa, our bar manager, created, and they were taken right next to her dining room tree, which is just spectacular. And it was just a beautiful picture, and it's just helped along by her decorating prowess.
Well, you may know we're coming there Tuesday night for a Christmas party, and I don't know who I have to slip a folding thing of money to get a plate of scallops, but you know.
Yeah, you'll be all set. I'm young Steve's going to he's our events manager. Don knows him.
Yeah, and, great kid.
He's
great,
going.
Great guy.
Yeah, thank you. he's going to a Christmas concert. His daughter is playing saxophone, and it's very impressive too. Nice. At 10 years old, he's like taken to it, and
that's a tough instrument.
Natural, so
that's a tough instrument.
Maybe he should be playing. Yeah, I think so. That's what I'm told.
Yeah.
You know what we should do? Anyway. I'm going to speak for Don Campbell here. We should get her to come down to the Royal Anchor, where it's just a lot of fun.
And play some sax.
And everybody would love her. Yeah.
I would love that. So would the audience.
Yeah. Oh, of course they would.
Yeah.
Saxophone.
Yeah, we'll try that.
That's a brilliant instrument. Violin's my favorite instrument, but the saxophone is second.
Yeah, you know, it's a very challenging instrument to learn, so you have to be very disciplined to learn an instrument like that. And I think it's wonderful when young people are taking up instruments and playing in the band, and it's another level of discipline, which I think is really great. Like, you know, like athletics is, you know, it's just a little bit different. So
what a thing for her to be able to say at 10 years old, she played down in the summer at the Royal Anchor. I mean, you know, sometimes Don brings in 500-600 people. It'd be a great crowd for her.
It'd be a lot of fun.
All right, I'm putting it on the calendar. Well, Ray, more importantly, is your scallop wraps, and I'll make sure that they're administered to a table on a regular basis.
Woohoo! Well, you know what's really funny? And I think you know this. Whenever I'm at an event, I typically try to go find the table in the back away from everybody. And, you know, just because I'm not there for politics and that kind of stuff. And what I've noticed over the last few years is that when we're at that Christmas party, people begin to gravitate to my table now because they happen to notice that scallops keep being brought out. I don't know why that is, but it just sort of happens.
Yeah, it's magic. It's a Christmas magic. It's a little scallop elf doing that.
No doubt.
But I'm anyways, I'll be supervising that party, and I just remember last year I happened to be in the room when David was giving out his awards to the different achievement awards to the different staff on F.O. Bailey staff, and it was just very heartening. He's one kind and one kind man, and very, you know, successful at what he does. And I know why, because he's a great leader.
Well, you know, you and I have talked about this a lot, and we've certainly talked about it with Sean Moody and Joe Bruno and a lot of other people. All of you guys who are very successful have one thing in common. You understand that success is a shared value, that you share it with the people who helped you get there.
Oh, because certainly. You're right. All those people do. And, you know, I give thanks to my mom, my dad every day for paving the way for my family, the rest of the family, to thrive on the waterfront. So we're very fortunate.
Yeah, there's no question. You're very fortunate. So I'm glad we squared away the scallops for Tuesday night. You know, I wanted to be a little subtle about it, but we needed to make sure we did that because, you know, that's very, very important. Steve, I do want to ask you, and I know you're familiar with it, there are an awful lot of restaurants in what I'll call the Greater Portland region. I really consider Greater Portland, Brunswick down to Biddeford and out into Windham and Raymond. And there's just so many names that we know, names that have been around for a very long time. And I don't remember this many recognizable names in such a short period closing their doors. What are your thoughts on all of that? And how do we stop from happening?
We obviously depend on locals to support our businesses like any business does, but there's so many choices and so many top-notch restaurants to choose from in Portland. But some of these places, more will fall, and some are maybe just one payroll away from closing up because it's just really tight. As much as one might think it's so expensive to dine out now, well, it's so expensive to pay people that you need to for them to stay with you. It's so expensive to buy energy and rent and pretty much any commodity we buy. It's just everything is just jacked up. So I think that some of the restaurants, I don't know this for a fact, but I think that they took their coffers were filled after the summer. They know what these months are here, right through into March. They're very bleak. January, February, terrible. November normally is not that great. We had a good one, but they just probably took the money and ran, and maybe had to pay their investors. There's a fair amount of the restaurants in Portland that are not just chef owned and operated. They also have investors, and they have to. Their investors are expecting a return, so really there's a lot of pressure to be able to make that bottom line. And, you know, fortunately, my dad put that whole property together, and he paid as he went along. So, you know, we have no debt service. I think we'd be hard-pressed to be able to make it work and have to pay a bank loan to keep our restaurant going. I also think of my friend David Turin, who runs Davis Restaurants, who's just a top-notch chef and a top-notch person. But he said, you know, he put his place together on Monument Square with, you know, used furniture, and he signed a good lease. You know, he's not paying a premium price for rent. So that allows him to be able to concentrate on good food and good service. But it's a challenge. It's a challenge for every one of us.
Yeah, I agree. I remember when he opened at Monument Square. That was the first time I saw Serena Williams win the U.S. Open. I think we were sitting outside, and I kept getting up from the table and excusing myself to go to the boys' room, but I really was going in to what was kind of the bar area to look at the TV to see if Serena was up or not. And then finally, Dee Dee said...
You didn't fool anyone, by the way.
I was about to say, then my wife said in front of the kids... how's Serena doing? But, you know, we fondly remember his place. And sitting outside, you know, in summer and in autumn there is just so extraordinary. And I met a really wonderful woman yesterday. Her name is Thais, and she has Athena's up in Freeport. And they are, you know, in light of all of this is going on, and it's also very public, these places closing. You know, up in Freeport, they've had closings. Jameson's closed. In light of all of that, she's opening up another facility in Freeport next year. And I just, you know, but I could just feel the sincerity from her. She sent me, by the way, she sent me a photograph of some of the desserts they specialize in. Holy moly, macanoli, Steve, I'm telling you. I mean, Don, you can see those.
Yeah.
Diane, you're here. Diane Campbell, who is a distant relation to Don, is here. Diane, you can see those, how beautiful they are, Dee Dee. Look how beautiful those are. So, you know, I just feel like, you know how it is. You make great things. People will come. You build it, and you build it well, will come. But she's optimistic. She, you know, we talked a little bit about the closings that are going on because it's talked about. I mean, I run into people just... you know, on the street, and they'll say, man, what is going on with the restaurant industry here? Because so many recognizable names have closed. Some of these are long established. Muddy Rudder, are they, around 50 years?
Yeah.
Just, you know, you say to yourself, what in the heck's going on here? And I was having a conversation yesterday with a gentleman down in York County, and he said he thinks the biggest problem is that Maine's energy costs are so dramatically higher and different than everybody else. When Governor Mills took office, we were high. We were 12th highest in the country. We're now 8th highest in the country and maybe are going to be even greater in 2025. And businesses are complaining about you have to have energy to compete and to do your job. And businesses are complaining about the high cost of energy here. And, you know, it's through artificial public policy, not through a natural occurrence.
Well, you're right, and you know, for us to pay for the renewable energy through our electricity bills is just that's one of the big reasons why our electricity is so expensive, because we're paying for exploration into wind power when we don't actually want the wind power, and it's not efficient. But it's a all political thing, and yeah. I don't know why the governor keeps going on that.
Let me ask you this question: Bill Harwood is the public advocate currently. He's retiring. Heather Sanborn, who owned a restaurant up on the hill, I think, that had a brewing company. Do you know Heather at all?
Oh yeah, I do. Yeah, she's a great person, and she's going to do a great job at being the public advocate. She ran Rising Tide with her husband.
Right, Rising Tide.
Well,
yes,
they started it. Yeah,
yeah,
and they just sold their business out to I should know, but I think it's Oxbow.
They sold it to Oxbow. You're right about that. So, yeah. Do you think, you know, when she was in the legislature, I often wondered why she wasn't more business friendly, but being the public advocate is an entirely different role. Do you think that she'll rise to that level and recognize how detrimental the cost of energy is, not only to the average citizen? 100,000 households in the state of Maine are struggling to pay their electricity bill, according to WGME Channel 13. And then we know that this is certainly a deterrent for industry and just regular commercial entities. You know her. You know she's owned a restaurant. She knows how difficult this is. Are you optimistic that, unlike Bill Harwood, she'll be a more fierce advocate for bringing down the cost?
I am. She's a great woman. She was a good business person. She and I worked on several things together. She served in the legislature for a while. I don't even remember what committee it was. But she's, you know, she's there as an appointee of Governor Mills, and I love Governor Mills. She loves my fried clams, and I love her. But that
food bringing people together again.
Whether she'll have to toe the mark for, I think not. I think she's an independent thinker, and I think she'll she's going to look up. My buddy asked me this morning, the coffee about her, and I said, you know what? She's going to be looking out for the people. What does the public advocate said? Dave asked me. I said they're out speaking for you and I. So I think I have confidence that she'll do a great job. And I didn't even know Bill and if he did a good job or not, Bill Harwood, but.
Well, Bill Harwood had, in my mind, a very mixed record here. A net energy billing has been very hurtful to the people of the state of Maine, and the solar subsidies have been extraordinarily hurtful because it's a tax on the people, but you pay it to Central Maine Power, which in my mind was deceptive of the governor and the legislature instead of paying it directly to the government to subsidize solar if that's what they wanted to do. So he was very hard on that, and he tried to work to find a solution to bring down the pain and suffering financially that had been caused by all of this. On the other hand, he sought to ban natural gas in the state of Maine, and he did it in a unique way. He wasn't going to stop natural gas. He was going to ban its expansion. So no company who was currently here would have continued to be here. If they can't grow, they're not going to hang around. Nobody wants to be in a dormant, stagnant circumstance. Fortunately, cooler heads prevailed, and Governor Mills did not support that bill. So the public advocate is somewhat independent, and I figured you knew Heather. I watched her in the legislature. I think the record is a mixed bag on her because she was a small business owner and knew better. But on the other hand, you step into this role, which is very different. So if you're hopeful, I'll be hopeful. How's that?
I like that. It's a season of hope.
Yeah, well, it is a season of hope, and I'm full of hope, man. I'm the hope master.
Yeah. Marge says, I love Happy Ray.
You know, it's so funny. Yeah. People say that to me, you know, because obviously I had a very difficult period here for about 6 weeks. And I actually, where were we the other day, Didi? We were somewhere, and some guy walked up and shook my hand and said, I love Happy Ray. I'm so glad he's back.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, we should talk. We should talk about what Chef Melissa's created for a feature for the weekend. So.
By the way, tell her that I actually put that in the promo yesterday, that Steve DeMillo will tantalize us with Chef Melissa's latest creation. So let her know. That ran 40 times before the show today.
But I heard it a couple of times myself, and kind of puts me under pressure. And actually, Marge asked me, what are you going to talk about? I said, I don't know. Well, it's kind of like we went... I think you and David the other day were talking about, you don't prep or anything. You just turn the mic on and here it goes.
I never have any idea what I'm going to say until the mic lights. Until that light goes on, I have no idea. I know it sounds crazy, but it's just true. My father told me when I got this job, he said, you know, son, you prepared for this job all of your life. You just didn't know it. So I walk in every day prepared, but I have no idea what I'm going to do.
Yeah, great story about your dad picking up the hitchhiker, too. That was... That was just very kind, and just that's where you came from, and it shows.
That's who he was, and I can't wait to see him again. And I know how that sounds, but that's just a fact. I can't wait to see him again. He'll be whole, and happy and well, and the bold, fierce, passionate man that he always was.
Well, let me give you Chef Melissa's creation, because you know, when the fishmongers had some special good quality fish, they gave her a call, and they had a swordfish, so she purchased this loin of swordfish, and she's preparing grilled swordfish with a velvet beet puree and roasted parsnips. So If that doesn't sound delicious to you, you know it's going to be because that's what she does. So it's grilled, line-caught Atlantic swordfish, served with a velvet beet puree, infused with blood oranges and roasted parsnips. This is finished with chopped chives, toasted slivered almonds, and a maple Dijon vinaigrette. Mm.
I think the Cumberland County Sheriff's Office is on her way to arrest it because that's addictive and got to be illegal. Diane Campbell, you should take your beautiful man, Jeff, down to DeMillo's for dinner.
I will make that suggestion.
You think I forgot you said that the other day. I said, as you know, Steve and Don, we do Christmas with we have jingles that are run of various folks. You guys are on it. And so I had Diane do one the other day, and she said, "This is Diane Campbell, me and my beautiful man, Jeff."
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Hi, Diane. Maybe I'll see you down the boat. I'll be there tonight and tomorrow night.
Okay. Or come to the fish store.
Yeah. Bring your, right. No. You got to take your beautiful man, Jeff, down and have a meal that he richly deserves. You just heard this. So are there going to be grill marks on the swordfish? I got to know.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep, right, there'll be markings.
Wow. Wow. I'll tell you, I really don't know how she comes up with these concoctions because every single one of them is better than the last one, and they are so delicious. You know, you think about the creativity, and I know she's a very creative person. You've extended the privilege of Dee Dee and I to be able to meet her and spend time with her on several occasions, and I know she's a really creative person, but she keeps coming up with these unique combinations that you wouldn't think of that just make your ears wiggle.
Yeah, she reads ears wiggler. I heard the Cafe 1055 ad with her and talking about ears wiggling.
Where did you think he got that from? He said, even my southern customers' ears will wiggle. Where did you think he got that from?
Well, Chef Melissa, she reads a lot, and she gleans all this information from reading other, recipes and other chefs, how they do things, and just kind of a natural talent.
Don, you've been down there many times. You used to work there back in the early 90s.
88 through 91. Had a blast.
Yeah.
Had a blast working with Steve and all of his brothers and his mom and dad. Great family.
Yeah.
And it's what's kind of cool, when I go in there now, I still see people that I used to work with. That's how much they love working there. And they're professional, you know, waiters and waitresses. It's pretty cool that, when you work with the DeMillo family, they make you feel like part of their family. And they lead.
Thank you, Don.
Well, they lead by great example. I mean, I can tell you I've walked into the men's room there and seen Steve cleaning the bathroom. And nothing is beneath him. And all of his brothers are the same way. And I think Steve's mom and dad instilled that in them. And it's quite impressive.
It is impressive. I agree. And I don't know if you know my cousin Rich, but he worked there around the same time that you did.
Yeah,
he did.
You're right. Yeah.
And you know, Rich, just every time I bring Steve's name up, he just speaks in such glowing, loving terms because, you know, what you just said is true. And you're right, Steve. You have people that have been there forever. I know that because we've come in there and we see them all the time. And again, it goes back to this formula. And, you know, unfortunately, Steve, no offense, but it's not unique. Treat people well, and not only will they stay with you, but they'll have pride in what they do, and everybody wins that way.
Yeah, you're right. And, Don's a, you know, great example of it. You know, he went on to bigger and better things, but he had a great time working at the boat, and, you know, he spent some fun time. He can't tell all the stories about my dad, but he can to you privately. But, you know, I sometimes I see Don polishing off his brass plaque of the Employee of the Month and what year it was.
Every time I go in the passage, January of 91.
Wow!
oh my God! I still go in there. Yeah, I'll you know, exhale in my palm and then just palm off the brass. You know, pretty proud of that.
So I'm going there Tuesday night for a Christmas party. I'll leave you a jar of brass cleaner, Don.
All right,
how's that?
Brasso, I think.
Brasso, that's exactly what it is. Yes, how funny.
Ray, we'll take a picture of you next to the plaque and point at it for Don. We'll send it to Don.
Yeah, we should definitely do that. That would be great fun, no doubt about that. Unfortunately, Steve, we have got to run, but we will talk with you one more time on air before Christmas. So I do extend to you and your family and everyone at DeMillo's a Merry Christmas, but we'll do it again in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Ray. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Absolutely.
We got to run. It is 7:59.
We fix people by fixing their car. I like being part of that.
It's a great feeling knowing that you've done something that looks good and you know the customer is going to be happy with.
We're doing great. I love my job. I love what I do and all my coworkers.
All the women that work here are fantastic and they want to be part of something bigger.
My future looks great at Moody's. The sky's the limit here.
If you're looking for a job and a great opportunity in a career, we're hiring at Moody's.
MTech means jobs. MEMA stands for Maine Energy Marketers, and MEMA's technical education school, MTech, stands for jobs. Just listen to John, a recent MTech graduate, and what he has to say.
I was looking to get into the trades. I was looking to go to trade school. I had basically like no mechanical experience, no hands-on experience. So I barely knew how to turn a wrench. It was awesome. They taught me pretty much all the basics for oil, gas, AC, refrigeration. If you learn skilled labor, if you learn a skill, then you'll always have work in that skill. I would absolutely recommend MTech to anyone who I ran into looking to go into the trades. It's a great school, gives you great hands-on experience, and it really gets you ready to go into the field.
The Maine Energy Marketers Association Technical Education Center, MTech, means jobs. Go to MTech's website, mtecenter.com, to find out more. That's mtecenter.com.
He took action because of what he calls Israel's genocide in Gaza. Butte County Sheriff Corey Honey says the kids remain in critical condition.
They have a very